ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नयम जनो मे सुख दुख हेतु निंदेवतात्मा ग्रह कर्म काला मना परम कारण मनांति संसार चक्रम परिवर्त ये जात। The Brahmin said, these people are not the cause of my happiness and stress or distress. Neither are the demigods my own body, the planets my past work or time. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. Manogunan vai shujate baliyas tatascha karmani vilakshanani suklani krishnan yata lohitani tevya sadha varanas ridayo bhavanti. The powerful mind actuates the functions of the material modes from which evolve the different kinds of material activities. In the modes of goodness, ignorance, and passion, from the activities in each of these modes develop the corresponding statuses of life. This beautiful sloka is from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Sri Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and he is giving him a beautiful story which illustrates what the spirit soul often asks to undergo in order to attain the state of real renunciation. The title of this chapter of the Bhagavatam is The Song of the Avanti Brahman. This Brahman was a very wealthy, very powerful man. He had a big family. But like so many people in this world, he became so passionate, so ambitious for more and more and more wealth, more and more power, that he misused so many people, exploited so many people, was harsh to so many people, even his own family members and near and dear ones. But somehow or other, by the unpredictable hand of fate, everything was stolen away from him, and he had nothing left. And all of his so-called friends, they were not friends at all. As long as they could use him, as long as they have something to get from him, they were very good friends. They would enjoy together. They would speak nice words, polite words to each other. But that's the way most friends are in this world. In this world, so-called love and companionship is based on this principle of, as long as you can do something for me, I like you. As long as our friendship is conducive to my advancement in the process of sense gratification, then there will be love. But as soon as there is an impediment, then there is no reason. Why should I waste my time with this worthless person? Huh? So in this way, the Brahmin, he turned to his friends, to his business colleagues, to his family members, because he actually needed them. He was in desperation. His friend looked at him, "You're not our friend. What do we have to do with you? You're not in our circle of society anymore. It's not prestigious to be with you. They turned their back and walked away. And as far as his own family members and loved ones, they just looked at him, all the harsh words you used toward us. You have no money, you have nothing. They turned their backs and walked out. He was laying on the ground, alone, with nothing. All he had was his own sorrow, was his own pain within the heart. So he just laid there, weeping and weeping and weeping. He had no one to talk to, no one to turn to. He simply wept. And in that condition, he became so utterly desperate, so completely hopeless, that he turned to the only friend, the Lord of the heart. And when he turned to Krishna and chanted his holy name, he experienced supreme joy, comfort, and purpose in his life. He actually became ecstatic. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he was remembering the beautiful prayers of this Avanti Brahman. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first thing he did after his sannyas, he began to chant the prayers of the Avanti Brahman. That real renunciation is to realize that only Krishna can save us. That when all things are said and done, there's only Krishna. All the illusions of this world and all the illusory relationships we have in this world, they will not be there at the time of need. Only Krishna. And whatever relationships we have that bring us closer to our one true friend, Krishna, those relationships are real. Those relationships are eternal. But any other relationship with anyone is only an illusion. It is only Maya. Mahatsevam dwaram ahurabhum uptais tamodwaram yoshita sanghi sangam. That by serving great personalities who bring us closer to the Lord of our heart, the doors to liberation are opened. But by associating with people who are simply interested in their own selfish pursuits of life, the doors to ignorance and the darkest regions of hell are open before our life. So therefore, there's only one standard that is worthy of keeping in the forefront of our life, in all of our dealings and all of our relationships. How will this bring me closer to my eternal, dearmost friend, Sri Krishna? Otherwise, every relationship is a form of bondage and illusion. Shukadev Goswami says, even family members, they are all like illusory, fallible soldiers, will only disappoint us in the end unless they bring us closer to Krishna. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, every relationship should be judged by this standard. In marriage, to the extent that the husband and the wife are strictly helping one another come closer to the only one true lover, Krishna, to that extent, the relationship is real. It has value. Any relationship between husband and wife that has any other purpose is an illusion. It brings us away from the Lord of our heart. We become so attracted to each other that we forget Krishna. Therefore, this is the standard of what is spiritual. What brings us closer to Krishna? This Avanti Brahman was glorified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he learned that without Krishna, nothing in this world is worth anything. Without Krishna, we might as well just jump off this building. There's no reason to go on breathing or living like the animals. This is the conviction. So this Avanti Brahman, he just became a sadhu and he just started traveling around. But because he had committed so many offenses against others, even though he became a great devotee, still he was required to at least externally accept the reactions. It is said when you take to Krishna consciousness seriously, you unplug the current of the fan. Right now, the fan of karma, when it's plugged in and the switch is on, just more and more and more current is making the fan go faster and faster and faster. When you unplug it, there's no new karma coming in, but still the old karma, the momentum of it is still there. So even when someone takes to Krishna consciousness, the momentum of his previous karma is still going to affect him. But the difference is he's not producing any new karma. He's producing spiritual assets for the future. But still, one has to endure. So, and actually, Krishna allows it to be that way for that person's purification. So the Avanti Brahman, he was a penniless sadhu, and he started roaming, free from any sense of false prestige, free from any material attachments. And what happened is the people that saw him, they remembered what he was, and they saw what he is now, and they considered him such an insult to human society, what he had become, such a successful man. Look, he's a sadhu, he's useless, he's nothing. Huh? They just consider he was a total failure, and many people remember the injustices that he performed to them. So they just gave him a terrible time. They would go up to him and throw stool in his face, pass urine on his head. Huh? Anyone ever do that to you? It's very insulting. They would call him all foul names. They would throw dirt on him, throw rocks on him. He had a sannyas danda. They would take his danda from his hand and start beating him on the head with it. They would give him stale poison, not poison, but just stale, rotten food and say, here is your donation. They were just insulting him so badly. And you know, dishonor is worse than death for one who has been honored. But here we find how the Brahman is responding to all these miseries of life, all of these injustices. He says that these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. This is a great lesson. Someone asked earlier today, what should we do when someone insults us? Should we defend ourselves? Should we attack? Counterattack? What should we do? But here this Brahman, and Krishna is quoting this Brahman personally, that these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods, neither is my own body, the planets, my past work, or even time. India has a wonderful railway system. I appreciate more hearing it from the outside than from the inside. So let us analyze each of these points that the Brahman is bringing up. He's saying that these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. In other words, he understands that whatever these people are doing, they should not be to blame. They are just postmen delivering my own previous sinful reactions to me. And if we retaliate, then what do? We just incur more sinful reaction, and somebody else is going to have to deliver that. In this way, birth after birth after birth, Krishna is going to send, the laws of nature are going to descend, different postmen to just deliver us the reactions of our own misdeeds. Just like if you are driving in a car and you crash into somebody because of your negligence, and then the mailman comes to send you the bill, how much you owe him. Do you hate the mailman? Why are you bringing me this bill, you nonsense rascal? I'm going to get even with you. The mailman is just delivering you what you've done to yourself. So if people misuse us, they're just delivering our karma. You made it. What goes around comes around. So therefore he's saying, these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. And then he's saying, neither are the demigods. The demigods are controlling all the different phenomenal activities of this material world. They're controlling the heat, they're controlling the cold. Sometimes it's too hot and we are in distress. Sometimes it's too cold and we are in distress. Sometimes too much rain, sometimes not enough rain. Sometimes earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes. He's saying, these demigods who are sending all of these, they are not the cause of my distress. In my own body, sometimes we're diseased, sometimes our back hurts, sometimes we have arthritis, sometimes we have boils, sometimes we have fever, sometimes we're just too tired. So many diseases. He says, my body is not the cause of my distress. And the planets, here in India, people are very much attached to giving credit and blame to the planets. This is called astrology. This distress, it's because Suni is in the fourth house. Something like that. That's the cause of my distress. Or it's because Rahu has come into my life. This is the cause of my distress. It's all Rahu's fault. Damn Rahu. I just have to wait somehow or other. I just have to wait it out until he gets out of my house, right? He gets out of my constellations. He said, it's the planets. They're not the cause of my distress. Nor is my past work. That whatever sinful activities I performed and all the karma that's coming back to me, that karma and that past work is not the cause of my distress. Neither is time. Time consuming everyone, making us grow old, bringing us closer at every moment to death. He says, even time is not the cause of my distress. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. You see, all these things will come. The astrological influences, the various arrangements created by the demigods, other people, our own past activities, our own, the force of time, they will create so many circumstances in our life. But they're not the cause of our happiness or distress. It is the mind that relates to these things that is the singular cause of all happiness and all distress, which are the cause of bondage in this world. Krishna explains, for one who controls the mind is the best friend, but for one who fails to do so, the mind is the worst enemy. Therefore, the only problem in this entire creation is a polluted minds. Otherwise, even in the greatest catastrophe, there's no problem. We often tell the story of when they were dropping the bombs in Calcutta during World War II. And there were sirens going off, and people were running for fallout shelters. They were scared for their lives. They were grabbing their children, they were grabbing whatever money they can get, whatever gold they could find in their house, and they were just running, they were screaming, they were madly, just crowds trampling on each other, trying to be the first ones to get to the fallout shelter to protect themselves from death and from pain. And Srila Prabhupada was cooking puris and ghee in his kitchen. And his family members said, "Abhay, come on, let's go. The bombs are dropping. We're going to die." Everyone was so scared. They were in distress. They were suffering. Prabhupada said, "No, no." He said, I want to cook these puris and offer them to Krishna." And he could hear the bombs. He could hear bombs falling everywhere. "Krishna has come in the form of these bombs. Let me welcome him with nice puris." No distress. Even though it was imminent death and destruction of everything he worked for all his life, because his mind was fixed on Krishna, he was simply enjoying every minute of it. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that for one who controls the mind, the super soul is already reached. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares the mind to a mirror. When the mind is clean, naturally you see God. And when you see God, you see the perfect, absolute truth, the divine beauty, which is the essence of all beauty, everywhere and in everything. Where is the question of material happiness and distress with that vision? But as long as the mind is polluted, as long as the mind is uncontrolled, as long as the mind is identifying, "I am the enjoyer, and I can enjoy this, and I can suffer if this happens." To the extent we want to be the enjoyer, to that extent we have to suffer. To the extent we want to be the servant of God, to that extent there's no such thing as happiness or distress. There's only transcendental ecstasy, transcendental love. Therefore, when the problems arise in our life, there's no reason to blame anyone or anything except our own minds. That's the problem. And there's only one solution: to purify the mind, to make the mind Krishna conscious. There's no other solution. "This person cheated me, I'll get revenge." That's the way we think. But what happens? It's just the illusion of Maya. In getting revenge, we create more karma, and somebody else is going to cheat us even more again. It's a vicious cycle. Therefore, a devotee, tatam nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipaka ridvagvapur vir vidadam namaste jiveti amukti pade sadayava. A devotee welcomes whatever comes as Krishna's mercy. In the service of Krishna, sometimes we have to fight. Sometimes we have to fight against immorality. Sometimes we have to fight in the service of Guru and in the service of the truth. But our mind should not be attached. Our mind should be like a lotus flower. Even though a lotus flower is growing in sometimes a filthy, dirty, polluted pool of water, and filth and dirt and pollution is all around it, the lotus flower remains pure, untouched, in its pristine splendor. So our mind is meant to be nourished into a blossoming lotus flower. We may be living in the city of Bombay, just like these trains are going by. Do you know how much distress those people are in who are in the train? We're in a little distress listening to the train, but they're in it. They're crowded. People are pushing and shoving and everything. It's hot and everything. People are just hoping that they just get to their destination soon. See? And those who don't go by train, they drive by car. Bumper to bumper traffic. People running into you all the time and at any moment. Pollution, exhaust, rats, all kinds of greedy people, people trying to cheat you, people trying to exploit you, people trying to tempt you into all sorts of craziness. It's like a dirty pool. But a devotee, even in all of these circumstances, even if the planets are bad, even if it's a bad time astrologically, even if we're reaping the most terrible results of our work, even if the demigods are sending hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes simultaneously, even if our body is suffering terrible disease and everybody's just treating us like dirt, if all those things are happening simultaneously, if the mind is like a lotus flower, it remains peaceful. We have to deal with every situation according to the need, but we are not attached. Jesus said, be in this world, but not of this world. Krishna says the same thing essentially in Gita in greater detail, where he says, one who sees action in inaction, and inaction in action is a man of real intelligence. So therefore, there is only one enemy in this entire creation, our own mind. There's no other enemy. Prahlad Maharaj, because of his pure mind, always fixed in Krishna, even his own father, Hiranyakashipu, who was trying to torture him, trying to kill him, trying to murder him in so many ways, for no reason at all. He did nothing. But Prahlad did not see his father as an enemy. He saw his father as his beloved father. He saw him as part of Krishna. He felt sorry for him. He pitied the fool. He didn't hate him, he pitied him. He can't hurt me, but I feel sorry for him because he's hurting himself. He can't hurt my soul. He cannot touch my soul. The soul cannot be burned by fire, cannot be cut to pieces by weapons, cannot be moistened by water or withered by the wind. The soul is transcendental. And Krishna is so kindly putting me in these situations just to bring me closer to my own soul. So Prahlad, he felt that, Krishna, I have no problems. I don't need anything. But I just feel so much sympathy for all these fallen souls. This is the condition of a Krishna conscious person. Therefore, we have to stop running from the problem and face it. Human nature is we want to blame the stars. We want to blame other people. We want to blame the natural conditions of the environment. We want to blame our own past karma. We want to blame time, which means we want to blame God for our problems. It's all Krishna's fault. He's the supreme controller. Why doesn't he make things nice for me? It's his fault. Huh? We want to blame everyone for one purpose only. Because of our false ego, we're not willing to put the blame where blame is deserved. And that is our own mind. It's my own fault. It's my own fault. Why? Because I still have all these material attachments and therefore I'm identifying with all this. It's all good. It's all perfect. But because of my rebellious mind, my uncontrolled mind, I am not willing to surrender to the perfect arrangement of the Lord. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasyata Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate. The Absolute Truth is perfect and complete, and therefore everything that emanates from the Absolute Truth is perfect and complete. And Krishna says in Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate, that everything, material and spiritual, emanates from me. Therefore everything is perfect. The perfect love of God is everywhere. And if we're not seeing it, it's no one else's fault but our own. So therefore, to the extent we're trying to find excuses not to surrender to Krishna, to the degree we're trying to find faults in other people as the reason why we're not surrendering to Krishna, to that degree, we are simply cheating ourselves of the opportunity. Therefore, a devotee internalizes his consciousness. And this great Brahman, he wasn't, although all of these people, they were so envious and so cruel that they were performing all these abominable activities upon this poor Brahman. They were suffering like anything, although they thought they were enjoying. And this Brahman, although physically suffering like crazy, he was in complete peace, complete tranquility. Lord Chaitanya wanted to be in that state. Lord Chaitanya was hankering, let me be in that Brahman state when everyone was just abominating him in every way, in every shape. Because that person was completely detached from everything because his mind was fixed in Krishna. Huh? Pseudo-religionists think that if you're doing very successful and you're doing very well materially, that means God is good upon you. Ah. In the karmakanda sense, that's true. But Lord Chaitanya was thinking that this is the perfection of life, to be like this Brahman. Not that we have to be in such an abominable state physically, but we should aspire to be in this spiritual state of consciousness. So therefore, to control the mind, to fix the mind in Krishna, to always remember Krishna, is the purpose of life. It is the ways and the means by which we can attain real transcendental happiness, real pleasure. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam purnam ritashvadhanam. When the mirror of the mind is cleansed by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, then that pleasure, that bliss, that ecstasy that everyone's longing for is fulfilled. Even if at that time we don't even want it. We don't even want ecstasy. But it just comes as a byproduct of our love for Krishna. Therefore, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that the prime benediction for all humanity is the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Because there is no other way in this age of Kali Yuga to control our minds, to purify our minds, to make our minds our best friend. And when the mind is purified by the sweet sound of Krishna through his name, then our heart blossoms like a lotus flower. And wherever we are, we can experience the joy, the peace, and the love of Krishna. And we will see Krishna everywhere and in everything. We'll feel his love everywhere and in everything. So we are very fortunate. Every opportunity that we can, we should try to come together to help one another purify our minds by hearing Krishna Katha and chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna. So today is our dear Muralidhar Prabhu's birthday. Usually Vaishnavas do not celebrate birthdays, which means we do not celebrate like ordinary people. Ordinary people, birthday means you're the center of all attraction and I'm going to enjoy like anything. But in the real sense, we should celebrate that person who gave us birth. That's Krishna. Huh? Please, don't curse him. By saying, I hope that you have many more birthdays. That's the worst. It's the worst curse. Because actually, there's only one birthday. That's the day you're born. Today's not his birthday. The day he was born was his birthday. Today's just an anniversary of that day. But birthday? You only have one birthday in your life. Is that correct? So if you say many, many more, that means take birth again in this material world, again and again and again. It's a curse. These materialistic people, they're cursing each other in the name of love. Huh? But actually, birthday is a happy birthday because the human birth is the opportunity to become God conscious, and we should celebrate it by becoming God conscious. Then it's really a happy birthday. So we are celebrating a happy birthday, that this person has taken this rare human birth and he is utilizing it for its ultimate purpose, to become Krishna conscious and to bring people together to help them become Krishna conscious. That is the greatest virtue. That is the greatest act of love. So we are very thankful for this wonderful family that has invited us this evening to come together to dive deeply into this mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement, which is the prime benediction for all humanity.